I saw them before, I think they're regulars. You know, in the road behind my house. In the car. Good morning.
How's everyone this morning?
Good.
Well, it's an exciting day in the life of our church today. Today is Confirmation Sunday. We have three beautiful young ladies that are going to be joining in the full membership into our congregation and the local Methodist church. And I hope they're half as excited as I am. I get goosebumps just thinking about it. So we're going to have a great time today. We have three beautiful young ladies that are going to be making their commitment to their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ today. So it's a big day for us in our church today. I don't have many announcements. I just want to welcome you all to church. If you're visiting with us today for the first time, welcome. I'm Pastor David Branson. We're glad you're here today. And we do have connect cards. That's the only other thing. This is how we record our attendance. You'll find them in your bulletins. I would just ask you that if you're members or regular visitors, just put your name on it and drop it into the offering plate. Or if there's any messages you'd like to get to the office or myself, that's how you would do that as well. So, welcome. We're glad you're in church today for this very exciting day in the life of our church. Let's now prepare our hearts and minds for worship.
Thank you. If it had not been for God, where would we be? Thank God that we're not left to our own devices.
Thank God that we are not alone.
We are not alone.
Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth.
Come, let us worship the God who is our sustainer.
Our Redeemer, our Creator, and our Redeemer.
Now let's celebrate our opening hymn, How Firm a Foundation.
Thank you.
get to do two things today. We're going to have confirmation and welcome these three young ladies into our church. But first, before we do that, we have an opportunity to reaffirm baptisms. Now, do we need to be rebaptized? No, we don't, do we? No, that's not what this is about. What this is about today is, Lanisha, come forward. Rose, please come forward. We're going to reaffirm their baptisms. Because Lanisha, going through her confirmation studies, has felt that God has laid it on her heart that she would like to reaffirm her infant baptism. And I thought that is an awesome thing to do. So this morning, and we're also Rose, her mother, stand right here in front of me here. Both of you will have you kneel here in a second. But what we're doing is just reaffirming their baptism. They've both been baptized, but they are just recommitting their lives this morning to God. And I thought it was a beautiful thing that mother and daughter would choose to do that together. So this is an awesome day. I'm going to ask Susan to bring an extra special blessing today. I am going to be reaffirming their baptism with water that we brought back from the Jordan River. Isn't that an awesome thing? Thank you, Susan. The place where Jesus was baptized, we now have the opportunity this morning to reaffirm baptism with water from the very spot. So it's a very special time this morning. There will be some responses later on in the confirmation process, but if you would get your hymnals out and turn to page 33. Actually, Rose, I don't think you won't need them. We can... I will just be doing the reading for this. So hear these words this morning as we celebrate this special time. Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporating into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift offered to us without price. Rosemary Lynette Pierre. Lanisha Elizabeth Brown, pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and those who receive it, to wash away their sin and clothe them in righteousness throughout their lives, that dying and being raised with Christ, they may share in His final victory. If you all would kneel at the altar. Lanisha Elizabeth Brown, I reaffirm your baptism in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. May God always bless you. Rosemary Lynette Pierre, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. We reaffirm your baptism this morning. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's have a prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would continue to grow and strengthen their walk with you. Father, as we reaffirm their baptism this morning, in the life that they have given to you, we praise you and give you all the glory for the greatest gift of all, your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Your sponsors as well. why we're here today. We believe. What a fitting song for this special occasion today. If you would, turn in your hymnals to page 33. We will continue from there. Through confirmation and through the reaffirmation of our faith, we renew the covenant declared at our baptism. Acknowledge that what God is doing for us and affirm our commitment to Christ's holy church. I present for confirmation Destiny Nicole Harden, Catriona Dorothy Chanel, Glenisha Elizabeth Brown. And now for profession of faith, turning to page 34. Girls, you will answer these three questions. On behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sins? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to all to people of all ages, nations, and races? Sponsors. Will you nurture these persons in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example they may be guided to accept God's grace for themselves, to profess their faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? According to the grace given to you, will you remain faithful members of Christ's holy church and serve as Christ's representatives in the world? Will you, who sponsor these candidates, support and encourage them in their Christian life? Do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include these persons now before you in your care? Let us join together in professing the Christian faith as contained in the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments. Do you believe in God the Father?
I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ?
I believe in Jesus Christ, the only Son of our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under the Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into death. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of God the Father. And will come again to judge the living and the dead.
Do you believe in the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life of God.
Turning to page 38. As members of Christ's Universal Church, will you be loyal to the United Methodist Church and do all in your power to strengthen its ministries?
I will.
As members of this congregation, will you faithfully participate in its ministries by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, and your service?
I will.
Members of the household of God, I commend these persons to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love.
We give thanks for all that God has already given you.
161.
The God of all grace, who has called us to eternal glory in Christ, establish you and strengthen you by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you may live in grace and peace. Let's have a prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray over these young ladies here today. Father, they have committed their lives now as adults to be fully participants in this church and in the work of the kingdom of God. Father, I pray a blessing upon them today, that from this point forward they are now young adults in pursuit of their calling that you have for each of them. Father, I ask a blessing upon them and their families that are represented here today, and all that love them. We pray these things in Christ's holy and precious name. Amen. Amen. Give them a hand. This church and of God's holy and precious family. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you all.
Amen.
I don't know what it would feel like to be their father, but I got to tell you, I'm very, very proud of them and their maturity and their faith. You know, you never know just quite how young people know and follow their Lord and Savior. And I tell you, we spent 8 weeks together in confirmation classes, and every week, I know about their sponsors as well, I was totally amazed at their maturity and their thought processes about what God means in our lives. It was amazing. They've all been through trying times as children, which I always say, children shouldn't have to deal with these things. These are adult things, but you know what? That's life. And there are things that they have to deal with that only adults should have to deal with. And with their strength in Jesus Christ as their Savior, I'm telling you, they are on a firm foundation. Whatever happens to them in their lives, I can feel that as they leave this place, they are going well armed against the world. I am so proud of you all. You are amazing young ladies, and I can't wait to see you grow and blossom in your faith and become devoted members of Lakeside. You already have. Most of you have been here. The two of you have been here your whole lives. Lanisha, we are so glad you're here. You're a member of our family now, and we love all of you. We love you. I love you like you're my own children. I hope you know that. Because you're great young ladies, and your families are great. And I'm going to cry here in a minute, so let's move on. A big, tough pastor is not supposed to cry, is he? I'm very proud of you, ladies. You're awesome people. It's a time in our service when we get to go before the Lord in prayer. We have many individuals in our congregation that are suffering with health issues and concerns. And we just want to lift them up today and pray especially for these young ladies this morning. Hear these names of folks that we're lifting up in prayer. We continue to pray for Tom Harden. We were hoping that he could spend some time with us here this morning, but he's still in his 3-month quarantine time. And Jane says he's not feeling well, and he's not doing very well with these treatments. So just continue to lift up. Tom up and Jane and the entire Harden family as they deal with Tom's cancer treatments and things. So just keep them especially lifted up. And what a blessing it is, Wanda, to have you in church today. What a blessing it is for Wanda to be here. We've been praying for her continuously. And she's had a couple losses in her family this week. She told me about. So we want to lift up your family and you, Wanda, for continued healing and God's peace to be over you. Okay, and Lane is your caregiver. Lane, we lift you up as well. We do continue to lift up Sandra Wallace. She's under hospice care as Joan Baker's sister down in Plantation, so continue to pray for that family as well. We pray for Scott Pileman, Donna's son, as he's having more surgeries on Thursday down in Miami. So just continue to lift Scott up in your prayers this week as he undergoes more surgeries on his legs. We have praises as well. Maricela is praising that her daughter-in-law came through her surgery good and that Mario got a better job. So that's a circle of praise. We are so glad for that as well. Rosemary prays for celebrating her third anniversary after stem cell transplant. Wow, that is awesome. We are so glad. What a blessing as well, Rosemary, for reaffirming your baptism. We will continue to lift you up in prayer and pray for complete healing for you as well. I praise that Karen has gotten a new job. So way to go, Karen. We've been praying for that as well. Answered prayer. I continue to pray for the Chandler and Hagen families and Claire Perez. That's your new granddaughter. It's a new granddaughter. And Palm Tran drivers as they bring Kathy to church on Sundays and around to take care of her needs. I know there's many things on your heart today. I know there's things that go unspoken each Sunday as we have our prayer time. I pray that you're comfortable and confident in going to the Lord and bringing your needs to Him, our Savior. So if you would, bow your heads with me this morning as we pray. Gracious God, what a glorious day it is for us today in celebration of the beautiful young ladies that have been brought into the fold here as full-fledged members of Lakeside United Methodist Church. Father, I pray your greatest blessings upon their entire lives. Father, as they go forth from this place, they now take you fully on as their Savior. In their own confession, Lord, they have confirmed that they will follow you always. So, Father, just bless them. Keep them strong in their faith. And keep them knowing that they never walk alone, that you are always beside them. Father, I pray for the people that are ill in our congregation, those lifted up by name and those that we have not mentioned this morning, Lord, that you would be interceding on their behalf, that your healing touch and your presence would be among wherever it is they're seeking treatment, at home or in hospital or rehabilitation centers. Father, we pray for your continued healing and peace among them. Father, I pray as well this morning for our children's ministry as we continue to grow and strive to provide the services that we need in this church to reach out to young families and children. Father, I give you praise this morning for sending Maria to us. She will be working with our children, and I just lift her up in prayer this morning that she would be strong in her faith and know that she does not walk alone, that as we come alongside to help her through this new venture, that she would feel your presence always. Father God, we are so grateful. We are so grateful to be in this place where we can feel a moment of peace. In the world, there is strife and conflict and murder and just everything that goes wrong in the world, Lord. It's glaring at us from the TV, from the radio, from the newspapers, from media. Father, we just pray that we can find solace and peace through these situations. Father, through all the bad stuff that's going on, we know that you are still our God and that you walk with us. And at times when we cannot even carry ourselves, that's when you carry us. So, Father, I am so thankful to be in this place with these people. I am so thankful for the promise and the hope of a future through our young people, through the ministries of this church that we reach out and help others. Father, just be with us today in our service as we come and we worship and we praise you and we give you all the glory for the magnificent things that you put on each one of our tables. Father, thank you for the blessings of this day and the promise of each day going forward. Let us look with joy to the future, no matter what we see on television or in the media. Father, we know there are good Christ followers in the world, and we count ourselves among them. So, Father, just bless us now. Bless the rest of our service. We ask a blessing upon our time together today. Now, with the confidence of the children of God, let us pray together. Our Father, who art in
heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you.
Father Peel from our own church. Father, we ask your blessing upon our offering this morning. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Kept them down, suppressed people.
As the people of Israel journeyed to Jerusalem, they sang of how God helped them in the past. They remembered their past. Granted, these young ladies don't have a long history behind them, but with speaking with each of them, I can see where God has been there for them in the past. Even in their short lives, God has been there for them and have brought them to this point in their lives. Same can be said for all of us. We need to think about what would have happened if God had not stepped in. In your own lives, can you think of times when God reached down, grabbed you by the nape of the neck, and pulled you out of some horrific situation? Or maybe the calm peace that you felt in a trying time. That calmness that people said, I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you get through these times. I pray that you can tell them that it's from the peace of Jesus Christ that gives you that strength. But that is the reason you can get by things that life throw at us. Is it easy to think about deliverance when our lives are comfortable? I've preached it before. If everything's going great for us, we generally take the credit for that, don't we? When things go bad, we say, God, why are you letting this happen? Deliver me from this. Take me from this situation. C.S. Lewis wrote, God's voice appears as a whisper when we're at ease, but loud and clear when we're enduring trials. When everything's going good, we don't even hardly listen for God, do we? But let things go bad and we start saying, God, why have you left me? Why have you put me in this place? God is there in both places, isn't he? Amen? A pastor went to give blood. He was asked several questions to determine his eligibility. The last item on the questionnaire was, do you engage in any hazardous work? He smiled and answered, yes, I do. He was wearing his clerical collar, so the Red Cross worker looked up and marked no on the sheet. And then with a trace of a smile said, well, I don't mean that kind of hazard. I guess if the possibility of losing a limb at your work site doesn't clarify and claim to be a hazardous environment. Life is hazardous, isn't it? Has anyone gone through their entire lives unscathed? You have any bumps and bruises and scars? You don't need to show them now. We'll be meeting in the fellowship hall later and we can share our scars and our bumps and bruises. I want to tell a dog story. When I was a kid, we had a little dog, Caesar. Great name for a dog. He looked like a little lion. Well, poor Caesar went to the vet and had you know what done. People would come to the house and Caesar would go in the middle of the living room and lay on his back. Turn over to show everyone what had been done to him. How could they have done this to me? It's nice when you have first-time visitors to your house and your dog runs to the center of the floor and flops over on his back and says, look what kind of people you're dealing with. You feel the pain, right? Well, you know, we don't get through this life unscathed. Either at the hands of another human, in poor old Caesar's case, or from our own demise. We are usually not our best friends, are we? We don't always do what's good for us, do we? That big piece of key lime pie last night was delicious. I'm beginning to tell my family that, you know, I gotta die sometime, so why don't I go that path? If I want key lime pie, I'm going for it. Poor if they don't share that soon? Oh, well, I'll get over it. So we all agree that life is hazardous. But we don't always get the true meaning of this through Psalm 124. It provides a setting, but the message is deliverance from those things. It's deliverance from life's hazards. The things that make us successful in our culture are not things that necessarily make us successful in God's world, does it? Does God care how big your house is? How big your swimming pool is? How many cars you have out in the driveway? If you have a lot of cars, they're probably in a nice air-conditioned garage somewhere. Does God care where we come from? That God is willing to deliver each one of those people. Each one of us. Each one of us are assured of God's deliverance. Does that make you feel good today? The first impression we get from reading this psalm is like a gasp uttered by someone who has just barely escaped the jaws of death. Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever had to run and look behind you and say, "Shh, I don't know how I got away"? Yes. Or has that thing chasing you caught you? You know, we run from danger all the time. How many times do we get caught? We do get caught on occasion, don't we? Danger in this psalm comes with three metaphors: a wild beast, a flood, and the fowler's net. So far, there hasn't been a net big enough to catch me, but that's okay. In these days in the Middle East, wild animals were common. Remember good old Daniel? King Darius threw him into the lion's den, thinking what? Wild animals were beastly things back then. They would eat you alive. But the Lord said, "No, I'm not going to let that happen." The Lord was on Daniel's side. Did the Lord get tired of standing with people after Daniel? Flash floods. Anyone been in a flash flood? Did you see the news where the flash flood out in Phoenix, I believe it was, came through these raging waters, swept the house off the foundation against the trees, they landed a person on the roof in a helicopter to come out and help them be rescued from their house? The flood waters were raging outside. People pushed over in a boat, got inside the house. They were in there for a few minutes. Did you see the end of that story? The people walked out of the house, no water. How did that happen? If you know the topography of places like Arizona where they have flash flood came through, washed the house away. While they're in there rescuing the people, the water disappeared and they walked out of the house. They could have saved the helicopter ride, an ambulance crew, the fire crew to come over and save these people. Give them 10, 15 minutes and you walk out of the house. That's how God works in our lives. Do you believe that? Do you believe that in the midst of a raging flood, we're about to be swept away and the water disappears? Now, where else can that happen? Is that just nature taking its course? I think not. We hear about bird catchers setting their traps, hoping to snare a bird for dinner. If they have turkeys, I like turkey. You'd need a big snare, wouldn't you? But the bird gets trapped and there seems to be no way out, but the snare breaks and the bird escapes. Have you escaped from a snare lately? It's not an easy thing to do. God's deliverance can break every snare. David is declaring in this psalm that if not for God's intervention, the Jewish people would have been destroyed. We talk about this in our Bible study class. Those Jewish people, they were some kind of people. About the time they're shown something glorious, they turn right around and worship a golden calf. Their memories seem to be short. What have you done for me lately, God? The message I'm making today is, girls, God loves you. God will always be with you. God is always there. When you get trapped in the snare, call out for God to help you. Call out. You notice in this psalm that David is not defending God. Does God need defending? God doesn't have to prove anything, does he? He's God. David is simply offering a testimony that this is what God has done for me. That's what I told these young ladies. How do you go out and be a witness to the world as a Christian? It says it right here. Just go out and tell people what God's done for you. It's not hard to do. I tell you all that on a regular basis. You've been given a job to do, and it's as simple as talking to people. Some of you don't like to talk to people, right? My wife is diligently taking notes to ask a question on the way home. She doesn't necessarily like to get up in front of people and talk, but you know what? She's pretty good about talking to folks one-on-one. I'm not asking you to be Billy Graham. Go to a stadium of 150,000 people packed in and try to save at least 100,000 of them. That's not what it's about. So girls, as you go forth from this place today, know that all you have to do is talk to people about what God has done for you. That's all you have to do. That's what David got to be in the Bible a lot because that's what he did. So that's all you have to do is tell people what God has done for you. One thing I'd like to mention, before we can assume that God is on our side, pretty important to ask whether or not we're on God's side, right? God is on our side even when we're not on His side. But doesn't it make life a lot more clear and a lot more straightforward if He knows that we're on His side? So that's a lesson for all of you today. If you're wondering if God is on your side, let's ask ourselves, are we on God's side? Are we asking Him for help? Are we asking Him to guide our steps? Are we asking Him and telling Him we trust Him? Does everyone trust God in here? Do you trust God?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
I'm from Missouri. You're going to have to show me. Missouri is the show me state. You know, we go through our life, and it's not an easy life most of the time. But there are times of sunshine and joy and glory, isn't there? Today is a joyful day in the life of our church. You know how happy it makes me feel when someone in my presence confirms their relationship with Christ. You know, that's one of the best days for a preacher. Did you know that? I've stood before you now for well over 3 years. And I like these days when something has been confirmed in the ministry of this church and by a part of it. my part in it. So this is a happy day for me. Like I said, I love these girls like they're my own children. And I'm so happy to be a part of their lives. I hope they feel the same. Because each of us needs someone in their life that says, I believe in you as much as God believes in you. I know their families do. But they need to know that other folks do, their church family. That we believe in one another. That we believe, hey, you're a pretty good person. Because we're not always good people, are we? We hear the saying, a child that only a mother can love. Well, you know what? Sometimes we're the people that only God can love. You agree? Not me, but some of you folks are people that only God can love. No, you know I say that in jest. Because there are some days that we're people that only God can love. Those are the days we need to grab onto Him. Those are usually the days that He's carrying us, right? Well, I pray that you've given yourselves today in a renewed way. As we've read through these vows in the hymnal today, those vows are for you as well. That's why you have a response to this service today. Because that is recommitting your own faith and your own journey in Christ. We're all in this together. I'm going to tell a little story on Venetia because it made me cry. It's not a bad story, but this is good. I will never embarrass you. She hasn't been coming to this church very long. And do you know one of the first things in our confirmation class that she said to us was why she loves this church? And I wonder, what have we done to show this to Lanisha and Rosemary and Kenny? She says, this church is like a family. This church is like people that actually love one another. So she gave all of you a compliment. Because that's unusual, I would say, in today's world, even in churches. But for her to get that sense in this church made me happy. Now, I can ask Destiny and Catriona the same question, and they've grown up in this church. Everyone loves them. There's no doubt about that. But they love Lanisha as well. Because it doesn't matter how long you're in the family of God, you're in love with God from the start. And as a people of God, that's what we're called to do. So as we leave this place today, I want you to take with you that we never walk alone. I pray the blessing of that on these young ladies. We'll be tested, we've been tested, and God has always been there. It's a special day today for me. I hope for you as well. Because the future of our church, and not just Lakeside United Methodist Church, but the future of Christ's family is that we all gather together. That we encourage young people to seek out and follow Christ. And that's done by talking to people. One-on-one, wherever you find them, to be the hands and feet of Christ. Let's close with a word of prayer. Father God, you have been our God in ages past. You are our hope in the days to come. Father, when we need reminders, when we need reassurances that your deliverance comes not from within, but from above. As we go through our lives as followers of Christ, we should know that Christ is beside us and Christ carries us. Father, we are grateful to be your people. I am grateful to be in the lives of Glenicia, Destiny, and Catriona. Father, we are blessed as a congregation to have these young ladies among us. Let them be examples to each of us. Father, thank you for the blessings of this day and the blessings of the family of God in this place. We pray these things in Christ's holy and precious name. Amen. Amen. Very good. Welcome again, ladies. Thank you so much. Would you all please stand for our closing hymn, Precious Name? Christ's holy and precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.